Welcome to a Cue the Banter, Quarantine the Banter update episode. Hope everyone's doing good at home, you're staying safe, you're keeping your distance, and most importantly of all, not injecting yourself with household cleaning products. We hope you enjoy. We had our Call Me By Your Name episode. Two very good episodes, I think. Two of our best.
Two of our better episodes, yeah.
The first film, movie, piece of cinema we talked about was Signs, which was, that was a dumpster fire of an episode. Fun to listen to.
But given the reason we wanted to do that, it only made sense that it went as such.
So we're just kind of here to give it's a quarantine update.
Quarantine update. We didn't really have anything lined up just with, you know, you figuring out your work schedule and stuff like that.
I am exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I look like Dr. Phil did when he was telling you that, I don't know, people dead drowning in pools was contagious. Yeah. Whatever the fuck that guy said.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I look like Luke in The Rise of Skywalker. It's not good. Yeah.
Not good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a heavy diet of bleach. Via IV, Lysol in the eyes, and then you shoot ammonia up your asshole and disease.
But you do it sarcastically.
Obviously. You do it just to see how people will react.
Yeah. But the thing is, we wanted to, like, we didn't really have anything, episodes to record that we scheduled for this week, so we figured we'd hop on and do a little update. We'll probably do a couple of these updates throughout this, Quarantine the Banter, miniseries.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, it doesn't mean we haven't been watching anything. Well, I'm speaking for myself. You haven't watched anything in 2 weeks, which is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I haven't logged anything. I've watched The Curse of the Black Pearl. I watched Dead Man's Chest. I've been kind of watching like more TV. Like I watched True Detective season 3, which then led me to rewatch True Detective season 1. Doing a You're the Worst rewatch right now.
Right, because you just finished that, finally.
Yeah. I was watching Waco a little bit.
Oh, okay. How was Waco?
I don't know. There's too many people in this country that sympathize with David Koresh and everything he stood for right now, so it's kind of, like, annoying.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's Michael Shannon and, what's his name? Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. I mean, it's like, it's whatever, but it's... I kind of put it on to zone out to.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
I put Lethal Weapon on at some point.
If
I put something on, like, as I'm, like, going to bed or I'm, like, going to fall asleep and I don't finish it all the way and I never go back to finish it because it's something I've seen 100 times, I don't usually log it on Letterboxd.
On the L-box, yeah.
It feels like cheating.
Yeah, if I'm mostly paying attention to it, I'll log it. But, like, say we have a movie on or Nikki's doing her MCU rewatch. If it's a movie, like, you know, I was paying attention for Guardians, so I logged Guardians. I wasn't paying attention as much when she watched Age of Ultron, so I didn't log that. Like, there's a couple I log, but...
There's nothing new I'm gonna really say about it. I have made some movie purchases though.
You did. You got those grocery store pharmacy.
Oh, forgot about
feature.
That. Zach always makes fun of me, and I'm like, you make fun of me too. Not as much as Zach. I'm like, you gotta understand. Sometimes there's gems in there. I got the.
Keep going.
I got the Blu-ray, the double. The Clint Eastwood double, the Outlaw Josie Wales, which I've never seen and I've wanted to see, and Unforgiven.
Mm.
Remember, my most famous purchase was from 7-Eleven, the special edition Blu-ray of The Social Network, which I then proceeded to lose, and it's been missing now for 6 years.
Yeah. It's a hidden gem somewhere. You ever get that? I've gotten, back in the Walmart electronic section, big tub.
Oh, about 96, 97?
Yeah, I think this was in college. I was like, let me look through it, because I was just curious, and I believe I got a Blu-ray. I got a Blu-ray of The Untouchables.
That's what I mean. There's good shit in there. I bought recently. Mm-hmm. I bought Zodiac because it was on sale for $5.
Is this on iTunes or what?
On iTunes, yeah. 310 of Yuma was on sale for $5. For $10, I got Hell or High Water and Sicario. Right. And I actually sent that to you. Yeah, the other night I just bought LA Confidential.
LA sure is confidential right now.
That's a 90s movie that someone said, I'm going to make this for Nick Raymond.
Yeah, there you go. I have recently got back into my old watch list of movies that I haven't seen that I'm trying to finally watch. I finally watched Snatch, which is a movie you've told me, and other people. I think there's been at least three or four people who have told me multiple times to watch Snatch.
Yeah, because it's
good. It's fun. It's fun. I love watching a movie with Brad Pitt playing a wild card in any way.
Yeah, and it's a good cast.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It is. It's funny. It's you know.
It's weird. It was weird to go back and watch a movie with Jason Statham where he only really has one small fight scene where he swings the bat a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're watching, it's mostly Brad Pitt's the guy you're seeing in a fight. If you see that movie now, I feel like those roles might be reversed, depending on if it's more of a mainstream type movie.
Yeah, where the person that the movie's focused on is more Brad Pitt and Statham's the kind of
wild card. That just seems where they ended up going from there. But
guy just wants a caravan.
Yeah. For his mom.
Snatch is it's just a Guy Ritchie British crime shit show.
Bunch of those British actors, and then Dennis Farina's in it too.
Farina fucks too.
In that movie, that's my Letterboxd review. Dennis Farina is the hottest guy in a Brad Pitt movie. So I finally watched that. I finally watched The Godfather. I got part one of the monkey off my back of watching The Godfather. That's always been a movie where if I could avoid telling people I haven't seen it, I would.
Oh yeah, you got to keep it on the DL.
Because that's something that even if I didn't study film in any facet, people would be like, "You haven't seen The Godfather?" But the fact that I went to school for it, it was never something I watched in school as a part of my learning.
It is kind of funny, though, is in the age of film Twitter and online film criticism, it gets a fair bit of, it's one of those movies that people are like, you know what, here comes my controversial take. You know what I mean? It's one of those type of films where it's like, oh, The Godfather. Yeah, because The Godfather's so good. And it's like, yeah,
it is.
It's just good. I don't know why it has to do with anything else. It's just fucking good.
It really is. Yeah. And it's long, but I didn't feel long watching it. I don't know, there's things I knew about it. I'd seen the scene with James Caan's character. Obviously, spoiler alert, meeting his... I'm the only one who hasn't seen The Godfather, so it doesn't matter. His death. I'd seen his death scene. I had no idea what context of the movie. I think watching it, I knew Brando gets shot early on.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he dies early on. I didn't know that he recovers from that and then dies later and stuff like that. And
leave the gun, take the cannoli?
Knew that one. Yeah, like, there's things that you know about it, but really, it wasn't, like, too spoilery for me going into it, so I didn't really know all what to expect, but
what yeah, I got and was it, a, and it, it's was also
a fine Italian picture.
It's also just, like, kind of a lesson in filmmaking, also, in a way, where it's one of those things where I think, even if you know every plot point of The Godfather, when you watch it, you're still like, oh, yeah, this is a masterfully made...
Yeah. Which is why you need to go back and actually finish Citizen Kane.
Okay, so real quick, here's the thing with Citizen Kane. Is like we always talk about my least favorite thing in the world is fucking movie spoilers. I hate it. I hate this, you know, this idea of, nah, spoilers are fine. They're actually better. You can take more in the movie with spoilers because you know information, so as stuff happens. And I'm like, yeah, we'll just rewatch it. And then,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
let me get that on my rewatch, yeah.
And I'm also like, you know, when the movie comes out, if they want you to know everything, they'll just tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. You have information.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, this is what this movie's about. Mm-hmm. It's about that. So knowing that is not a spoiler for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But so the Citizen Kane thing is like, we watch it in a film class, and we, you know, you watch the scene where they're in the house and he's in the, with the window on the back with the snow.
Right.
And you go over the lighting and that and the camera.
Snow.
Work.
Snow, past and future guests.
but then, like, I don't think I was at the next class. So that's when they finish it. I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta finish Citizen Kane. You know, Rosebud.
Yeah, you gotta figure out what Rosebud is.
I gotta know. And then, like, for some reason, I was watching, like, Family Guy, and that's where the joke is, like, oh, like, Citizen Kane, and it shows the movie, and then Peter's like, it's the sled. It's the freaking sled. And I'm like, widely regarded for years as the greatest movie ever made. Spoiled for me. I made it my whole life. Made it 26 years, I guess.
I know, without it getting spoiled.
Fucking Family Guy ruins it? Come on. Yeah, obviously I'll go back and watch it. But,
it's one I want to go back and rewatch, because that's the only one I've watched for school. But yeah, I got through part one of The Godfather. I'll watch part two next week. I then followed The Godfather up with the way you follow The Godfather up. You watch Paddington. You do a Paddington double feature. Now, Paddington was on sale for $5. We watched the first one on Amazon and then bought it. We bought it for $5 on iTunes. The second one, so
I have not seen the second one yet. By the way, you've been outside. You look like you got a little sunburn going on there.
Yeah, it is night. Yeah, we went for a walk today. It's like 90 degrees.
You get sunburned in a quarantine?
Yeah, so we went for a long walk. Well, it's better than what other people are doing. I follow people on Instagram that are at the beach, most likely down in Orange County or Newport Beach, stuff like that. We're at the beach yesterday and today, like morons.
Like, here's the thing. People here, you know, obviously it's colder. Today was actually kind of a warm one. Let's see. The temperature right now in New Jersey, 51 degrees. So when the sun was out, it wasn't bad today.
Mm-hmm.
The parks are closed. We have that rail trail that's closed. And people are like, why are the parks closed? They should be open. You're not going to catch it at the park. And then you look at all these states or like even the beach here.
Yeah.
I'll open the beach. And it's like, because what's going to happen is, the beaches are going to be open. People are going to be stuck inside. They're going to go, the beach is open. Let's go. And it's going to crowd.
Uh-huh. That's the problem.
Same thing with the parks.
Yeah. Same thing with
parks. Too many people are going to go.
Yeah. We've often had the conversation where it's like even Nikki's brought it up, like, oh, like, could we, like, go to the park? And, you know, obviously it depends on the park. Like, there's people who go for walks in New York when they can. They're walking through the park. Obviously, Central Park is a bigger park, but it's like, my thought process on it is, yes, right now the parks, if there's a park that's open and you're allowed to go there in the middle of the day and no one's there, that's great. But like, who's to know whether or not everyone has that idea and goes. Not saying that's likely to happen, but like, why go to a park if it's like, it's one of those things where there's no capacity type thing. You know what I mean? Like why do I have the right to go to a park and then just because I'm there and a couple other people are there, someone else can't go? So I'm like, I'm not gonna go. Like, I'll walk around my neighborhood. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, it's a free for all. Whoever wants to go to the park is gonna go to the park. And it's also the thing producer Snack Tray brought up was like, you know, out of nowhere, everybody has decided that their favorite place to go is the park.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you can't even go to the park anymore. And he was like, yeah, when was the last time you were at the fucking park? Is this like this is like your whole your park routines disrupted? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you know, it's like you know, work update for me was rather than getting laid off, I kept my job and now I don't have to work shift work anymore. So I'm going back to days. So I'm trying to like adjust to that because out of the three shifts I work, days is the worst. So that's also why I haven't watched anything. I've been so just like, I feel fucking burned out, man.
Yeah.
After
well,
like
that's why we took a break. That's why the only like, episode recording is this little mini episode.
Yeah, man, like all this shit going on right now in the world and like the president's talking about like injecting bleach and like UV rays and like that whole thing and then, you know, I heard, you know, it's fucking stressful. And then I lost my job and got rehired, and then I was going to get laid off again and got rehired. Then there was a chance I was getting laid off again. Now I'm rehired again. So that whole stress of that.
Yeah. Total burnout. When's your next day off?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you finally get a day off tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow. Yeah. So I work Tuesday till today. I'm off tomorrow, and then I work Monday through Friday. Okay. But yeah, definitely.
But that's it. That's back on day shift. So
back
we'll
on day shift.
Figure out recording and stuff like that too.
Yeah, so it'll be a little bit easier. But it's like, you know, it sucks, man. Because there's like a lot of shit I want to watch, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to give it 100%.
Yeah, I feel that.
So I'm not going to be able to give it 100%. I get all. Now I can't watch this right now.
Right. I feel that. A couple other things I watched. I finally watched Collateral. Collateral is one I've been meaning to watch for a while.
Gray-haired Tommy Cruise?
Gray-haired Tommy Cruise driving around killing people in nighttime L.A.
So the thing with that is I really like the way that movie's filmed.
Yeah.
I really like the cinematography of it. That was my
takeaway from it. I thought Cruise and Fox were excellent in it, and the man style really suits nighttime L.A.
I mean,
which
the man
a good
style is
watch.
The man style is good for also for like Miami Vice, a movie that I saw in the theater when it came out, and I was like, I don't know if I liked this movie or not.
Yeah.
And then I bought it on DVD and I watched it, and it was like DVD, aka regular Ray,
right?
AKA 0.5K video.
Bleep that out.
Might as well be VHS. Right when it came out and watched again, I'm like, no, I kind of like it. And then now I've tried to go back and I'm like, I cannot deal. I can't get through it. But I do think the shootout, like the few shootout action type scenes in that are filmed in the same style as Collateral is. And they're very, very effective.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it a lot. I thought it was good and it was fun it was nice to me to watch. So we watched La La Land. It was the last episode we did. A lot of that takes place just out and about in L.A. Throughout the year, based on how that's formatted. This was just a nighttime. This was like a one night in L.A., so I got the night elements of being out in L.A. Like, you know, they're in the clubs, like stuff like
it
that.
It is funny, though, because that's what brought me to, like L.A. Confidential. When I saw it was $5, I'm like, oh, we just did La La Land. And as I've said on this podcast before, a movie that I'm very, very fond of, movie starring Kim Basinger, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe, Danny DeVito, and the guy from Babe. That'll do, Pig.
Javis Cromwell. I thought you were going. I thought the way you were going was you weren't going to drop Kevin Spacey by name. I thought you were just saying, "Oh, that guy from."
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in it. I completely blocked it from my memory.
I thought. Well, I thought you were making a political choice there.
Fuck him, jerk off.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was another good watch. There was a movie that I watched that has been put into the backlog for a Nick Q episode.
Yeah.
Give you a movie down the line. So after I watched Snatch, I watched another Brad Pitt movie, Killing Them Softly. Movie owns.
It's fucking Ben Mendelsohn, right?
Ben Mendelsohn.
It's written and directed by what's his face, who did Jesse James.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Andrew Dominic. It's a good movie. It's short. It's a 97 minutes. Richard Jenkins, James Gandolfini.
Rest in peace.
It's a good one. I'd seen people had been watching it a couple weeks ago, and one of the things they said, it's like, and I was interested to go back and look at it, is it was looked about, I think two or three people I saw on my Letterbox said this. It was weird to watch a movie that was so cynical about the United States in 2008. Like, it was made in 2012, but the movie takes place in 2008.
Okay.
It's like, looking back on it now in 2020, it's like, man, was it cynical enough?
Yeah, I mean...
So that would be an interesting episode. If a movie we could talk about, that might be something I add to your queue down the line.
Yeah, I think that whole, you know, that whole thing is super interesting when you look back at, like, whether it's a political film, heavy politics or not, or, you know, things that are referenced about the United States and everything in older, you know, that's why I think The Social Network is brilliant. But I think it holds such power now. Like, when you come to the end of the decade list that you had, you saw Moonlight rightfully at the top for normal humans. And also up there was The Social Network. But I also think that the impact of The Social Network now in the times we're in, going through an election with what has gone on with Facebook and then people's data being, you know, sold, like that whole thing. And that, you know, that's it's added an aura kind of to that film.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they were to, not that it's something that they would do, but you can almost write a sequel to The Social Network. Be interesting to see, like, if Sorkin would write a sequel to it, and maybe Fincher would, or, you know, like, have the same group of people, but it would be a completely different story, but it'd be about the same.
Which is crazy. Because like, as it goes on, like, what's happened recently. Now, that's at the launch of it. Look at it right now, how big fucking Facebook is.
Yeah.
Like Facebook, the movie would have to take place, what, 2015, 2016 area?
Yeah, like I'd be very interested to see that, because it would be so drastically, like, the type of story would be completely different. But there's something there to be explored, and it's just a whole different angle on the Facebook story that's really unfolded since its inception, which would be just kind of interesting to see what they would do.
It's that Facebook is the worst place on the fucking planet.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's
as I've said before, says the guy with two accounts.
There is nothing worse, man. It's,
do you know, so you log on to Facebook, what you get on Facebook is you log on to Facebook and you know, you get the occasional, like, people just giving updates on their life, you know, dog videos, memes, rarely, because that's normally posted elsewhere. You get political stuff. That's, like, the big thing. It's people talking about their political beliefs. And what you get almost as much is people politically complaining about people posting their political beliefs.
Yeah.
Posting to Facebook, and you can tell why they're upset with it, because they don't agree with it. And it's talking about how they want people to stop posting political stuff.
They're posting political. It's like, you know, used to have, like, you know, I've had, like, guys I used to work with where it's like, you know, one post is, here's a meme that's about immigration in the United States, and that's completely wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. Completely, factually, not even close. It was like kind of like, look at illegals get this much money per month from this. And you add it up and you're like, undocumented people in this country are not getting $30,000 a month. It's not that's not what's happening. But then the same person the next day will post something and be like, look, I don't like to get political, but
I don't normally post this, but I
don't think the NFL is very American. Hey, man, how are you feeling about people that are protesting for their constitutional rights because they can't go and spread a disease around? How are you feeling about that?
They can't get a haircut.
Still, the whole thing with AMC, I think it was AMC, I saw something about even if as restrictions are lessened and things begin to open, one of the movie theater chains is like, we might not open right away. We might just give it time, which is, I think, smart.
Yeah. Once they come back, do it like every three rows.
Like that's
every other row.
Yeah. Like the last thing you want is, we open quick, a bunch of people go to the movies, and then... oh, here's a bunch of people are sick. Where, let's find the common place that they all met at. And you're like, everybody was at the movie theater to watch Wonder Woman 84.
Well, because it's a closed space, a bunch of people in a closed space, and circulated air. That's like, it's a petri dish for it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I know.
They've moved some movies have gotten new release dates. A lot of stuff's got pushed to next year. Although Nolan's Tenet is still July, right? They haven't budged on that yet.
Yeah.
I saw something about Spider-Verse. The second Spider-Verse has been pushed. Doctor Strange has been pushed. Love and Thunder has been moved up.
Yeah, some of the ones that I think they're probably just reformatting their whole plan for how they do it.
Yeah.
So like move up the ones that weren't going to be most likely not going to be affected by it. Move it up so they're closer, and then they'll release a bunch. Close. Because like 2022 is looking kind of crazy for Marvel right now, with moving stuff back and also moving stuff up. It's interesting to see.
I think the reason why we did this, kind of talk to people and see what's going on. How's everyone handling everything? Because this is a fucking weird thing. So the NFL draft going on. You got Trey Wingo in the studio alone. Every GM coach is sitting in a room in their house with cameras in it. All these top prospects have cameras in their house on them there. Every analyst is in their house. So, you know what I mean? It's like...
right. And I have one guy at the studio, and then everyone else is in their own office.
I was on a Google Hangout watching the draft to see who the Giants drafted. You know what I mean? It's just like this weird...
okay.
It's weird to think that if you were still in New Jersey when we were recording this, this is how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a weird thing. I put on the NFL draft and it was all the analysts talking and I said, this looks like a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was something, I feel like they did that. I didn't really watch too much, but I tuned in a little bit, but I felt like the production of it was done as well as it could have been. It'll be interesting to see how some of these other, how things are done moving forward.
I mean, even them resuming filming movies, TV shows, commercials, because you see every commercial now is a fucking Zoom meeting or Microsoft Teams meeting or something like that. You know, they're all,
you got to get creative.
Yeah, it's people in their house. Oh, hi, I'm the CEO of whatever the fuck he's the CEO of, talking about this, in this time. It's weird. It's very weird.
Got to bring back the drive-in theaters.
Well, yeah, apparently. Well, what was that double feature, the one I sent you? The drive-in theater.
It was the My Little Pony movie. It was My Little Pony and... was it No Country for Old Men?
No, it was something similar. It was the My Little Pony movie and... fuck, what the hell was it?
I'm trying to think. These are the only two movies they have on file.
Let's see. They went back to the archives. Like, what movies we got that we have?
My Little Pony, and it was... what was it? Why can't I think of it?
I'm trying to figure out. Let's see. Oh, here it is. My Little Pony, the movie, and Blade Runner 2049.
I mean,
not
God,
even
that's...
like what? Talk about not even totally different genres, totally different clientele. Like,
yeah,
you're going to go to the movies and it's like, hey, kids, we're going to go see the My Little Pony movie. But when it's done,
you
mommy and daddy
are
going to stay for Blade Runner 2049, a movie is excellent. But a movie to take your kids to, like...
that is almost 3 hours long.
My Little Pony, the movie's got to be a tight 85.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You guys should be, like... like, that is...
Can
I mean,
you
we've done...
Your, yeah. Your,
we've you, done double features on here. That would never even enter the stratosphere.
Well, it is now. It's there now. It's the, it, that's canon now.
They could... I could give you 10 years to guess a Stranger double feature, and I don't think you would get it.
Yeah. 2 hours, 40 minutes for Blade Runner 2049.
Yep. All right.
My Little Pony, like...
It's got to be like 77 minutes.
99.
Oh, pretty long.
It's a hefty picture. Jeez. So maybe they are pretty... So like, My Little Pony, in terms of length... is like the Blade Runner 2049 of children's movies.
Of children's movies. That's probably what, yeah.
That's what, yeah. Also a lot of colors. Yeah, so I guess you bring the kids, they watch that, hope that they fall asleep in the back of the car after the movie, and then you watch Blade Runner 2049.
So, how, like, we touched on this, I think, in our first quarantine episode when we introduced
intro,
this miniseries.
Yeah.
We talked about them, you know, movies being released on home video. And I bring this up because the release of Trolls World Tour.
Of course.
Is, I believe, the newest one.
Trolls World Tour. Let's talk Trolls World Tour.
So, Kate's been watching House.
Okay.
And watching it on the NBC app. So, when you watch on those kind of apps, if you've never done it before, they recycle the same three ads
mm-hmm.
for all 7-8 seasons of House.
Right.
She knows the words by heart to the rap that the glittery troll does when it comes on because she's seen the commercial that
so many
times. That many
oh,
times.
My gosh.
But we kind of talked about this because someone was like, look it. Do not. These movies are going to be easy to illegally download. There's going to be copies of them. So. And they were, you know, framing it as like, look, they're testing this out. We should support it and buy it. And I'm kind of like. I understand supporting during this whole thing, but I don't want this to go so well that movie theaters fade more.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, they're doing what they have to do, but I don't want them to be like, oh, fuck it. We can just do it like this forever.
Yeah. If it's a shame that like both of the, like both worlds are so, I don't want to say against each other, but like for if the one is to succeed, the other one kind of has to.
It's not totally fail, but it's
no. But there is correlation. But it'd be nice if there was some way, like in this time, it'd be set up where if you buy this movie, a percentage of the money you pay goes to like funds that help, you know, like a relief fund for like to keep like theaters open, you know. I wonder if like AMC is gonna do anything because like AMC I think has a streaming service.
Yeah, they have.
I wonder what.
I only know because like, I get those updates.
Right. Like, so I wonder what like at one point do they start releasing movies on there? Like, if you have a list, if you pay for a list, you get these movies. It's almost like a subscription service in the meantime or something. Even if it's a discounted price, I don't know. It's
okay. So here's what AMC said. AMC theaters won't reopen until there is new studio product. Skip the previews. AMC theaters won't reopen until new films are ready.
Yeah.
So even if it's like, oh yeah, you can open the theater, they're not opening them until those big fucking blockbusters come out.
Yeah.
That's,
people are going to be wearing, like, we'll be wearing masks to the movies. Even after
I know.
This is over. I think that's a weird thing. It's going to go on for a little bit. I'll probably...
Well, it's like
yeah,
that we more.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity did a whole thing about how he wants to go to baseball games.
Okay.
And wear a mask, and he gave lessons on how to fucking eat popcorn and a hot dog with a mask on.
Did he do a? Did he do a like a present like a? what's the word? Presentation of it. That's not the word, but you know, did he act it out
as if he was for the hot dog. You pull the mask and you bite, and then the mask goes over, and it was ridiculous.
But did he use real? Did they have real?
No, food? No. He did not use actual props to demonstrate. It's going to the grocery store with a mask on and waiting in line 6 feet apart from everybody else to be let inside is weird.
Yeah.
I know from my point of view, going to work in a mask is weird.
Mm-hmm. I went to the bank for the first time. I was wearing a mask. I said to the lady, I said, I never thought I'd be in a bank wearing a mask.
Yeah. It's like the why it's cool. 'Cause she pushed the emergency help button immediately.
Yeah. That was take it right away. It was, yeah. By a security guard in a mask.
I get my car, I drive there, I park, I put the mask on, I go through security, the bomb detectors, metal detectors, get through, I get in the shop, hand sanitizer, I spray my desk area down, and then I take my mask off to have coffee. If I get up to go to the bathroom, to anywhere else you go, any job you do is masks.
Masks.
And here's the thing. Let me tell you something. A mask and safety glasses do not mix.
No, they don't. I've tried to wear. I was like going out. I was like, let me put a hat on. I was like, let me go put sunglasses on too, protect everything. And I breathe. I took one exhale,
one breath.
I said, nope, glasses gone, done.
You know what I mean? I got a mask on. I'm operating a crane, and I can't see anything.
Yeah,
it's got disaster written all over.
Written all over. Yeah, and a nuclear power plant.
So I just took the glasses off because look at if the crane falls. Safety glasses really are not doing anything for me.
Not doing anything. Oh,
right.
Gosh.
When the 35-ton hook lands on my body, the safety guy isn't going to go, this really could have been different if you would have had those $1.99 safety glasses on.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, this shit is weird, man.
Mm-hmm.
Very
weird, but we get some. We got movies. We got movies we get to watch.
Yeah, like, you know, Zach's been watching a lot of movies and catching up on stuff. So I think our next update episode, we're going to have him back on to talk about what he's seen because he was not a movie guy. He's probably watched more movies during his quarantine than he did in his entire life before that.
Right. He's never watched the Marvel movies. So he has a ranking of those building up, and he's got a ranking for his non-Marvel movies of the movies he's watched during quarantine. So it would be nice to get an update on him, on what he's been doing and how he feels about some of the movies he's watched.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had to postpone episodes because, you know, people had issues with their job that they were at. They were getting furloughed. People were getting laid off. It's just like people are stressed.
Mm-hmm. Need that escape. Need that escape more than ever now, but you know, hopefully we can get back to movie theaters soon. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how soon I'd go to a movie theater. Like if they said, okay, tomorrow, all clear.
Yeah, no, I'm
good. How long? I mean, not given. I'm more saying like, if it were all clear, you know, not like quote unquote all clear, not like what it's right now, but they say go out. But like if it got to the point where it's like, all right, we're gonna start. You know, it's safer now and we can start doing it. I still don't know how soon I would go.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
theater.
That's even like, look at Georgia. They're opening up barbershops and gyms and stuff. I'm not going to get my hair cut. My hair is a fucking nightmare right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, it's a train wreck. But I mean, I'm not going to go and risk getting a deadly virus because my fucking hair is messy.
I will sooner attempt cutting my own hair.
Yeah. You know?
If it's longer, I'll try, you know, just maybe cut the sides or like if I try to, now's the best time to teach yourself to cut your own hair.
I was like the idiot across, you know, the idiot neighbor I heard who were talking, oh man, we got to open stuff up. Oh, you can't even go get your hair cut. I'm like,
who cares?
What is going on here, people?
What was the best was the Sean Gunn tweet when people were.
Oh, jobs are essential, that one.
Yeah, and he was like, as someone who has made a living
playing a talking
raccoon, I can tell you. Yeah, someone who has made his living pretending to be a computer-generated talking Raccoon, I assure you, all jobs are not essential.
Yeah, I mean, look at the, you know, understand that there's, you know, people that are out of work right now that need to be at work, that would rather be at work, you know, everything. I get it. I also understand what's crazy is there's so many people that are making more money on unemployment than they were while working, which just shows you how broken the system of everything is. I also think everybody that's pushing that same thing about we need to reopen now, save the economy. We're going to have to sacrifice some people to save the economy. Fuck that.
I know. And just...
the economy can blow me. How about that? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's just one of those...
because if we... like, it's not as black and white as these people think it is. Like, it's going to be... if it's so obviously going to make the economy worse if we go out and spread this thing more.
But the other problem is that, like, you know, they're trying to pass bills and shit that are going to help people out, which... they need to do. You know, obviously, I'm speaking as someone who my hours, I have more hours now.
Yeah.
Because I work my regular shift doing my you know, regular job. And then I have an overtime opportunity 3 out of 5 days of the week because we disinfect the entire site since our whole site is still moving forward with decommissioning. So I'm working extra. So I understand where people feel. But I think that so many of these we need to open right now, people. It's like, hold on. We need to figure out a way where unemployment, stimulus checks, things can be used to help you. But these people are so indoctrinated with that the government helping them means that they're reliant on the government. Therefore, that's socialism and communism. So they're against things that will help them because someone has told them that, no, that's bad. That means the government runs your life. And they just would rather go back to work and risk dying.
Yeah.
America is a funny place right now.
Do they know Tenet's coming out? Like Tenet's coming out in July. Like, we gotta be alive for it. Gotta be alive for, like, Tenet.
It's just, you know, the whole thing is just, it's kind of wild to me about where people are putting their priorities. They seem kind of mixed up. Like, yeah, does this suck? Yeah. Is it affecting people, you know, hard? Of course it is. Do I think that we should go insane and open back up right away to save the economy, quote unquote, throw ourselves into more of a crisis?
Yeah. I think people gotta, as best they can, look on what bright sides there are to it. Obviously there's not many. But like, you're being asked to sit inside the comfort of your own home and do nothing. People would kill for that when they're, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's like, obviously people are struggling for money and trying to figure that out, but like, safety is far more important. So don't take it as a punishment that you're being inside. Take it as like, okay, I'll just take a break. I'm just going to sit back and.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's definitely stressful. I understand this, it could be overwhelming, but it's like,
yeah,
stay inside.
The sooner we all do it, the more we all do it, the more hardcore we go about it, the sooner we'll be out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I don't know. Eventually when the movie about this comes out.
The Peter Berg movie starring Mark Wahlberg?
I fucking hope not, man. This, I'm talking about, you know, like as we brought up before, Mr. Lucas, Mr. A. Lyrics there bringing up that someone that would kill the Trump role would be Philip Seymour Hoffman. Mm-hmm. But when we get to we get to the 2020 movie about all this shit going on, you're going to look back and be like, I cannot believe that this is going on.
I know.
It's a wild ride. And, yeah. I don't think
people are going to want to see that movie anytime soon. I think give it five, six years.
Down, whatever, yeah, maybe, down the road. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, how can it not?
We got it. There's got to be something about it. Like, I mean, who knows? It'll be interesting to see what type of movies we get down the line, and people screenwriters will be like, look, I wrote this in quarantine. Like, this was...
oh, we get some weird shit.
Get some weird shit, yeah.
Right? Like some weird fucking things going on.
Yeah. Yeah, who do you think's having who's benefiting most from this isolation in terms of writing a screenplay? Who could make the wackiest movie based on this? I don't know. But
good stuff. Let's see. Who could write the craziest? Like, not, we're not talking about this situation, but who do you think locked in isolation writing a screenplay could come up with some wild shit?
It's going off right now.
Probably Charlie Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman's probably writing some weird shit, yeah.
I mean, it's just weird anyway, but it's just like, it's, yeah, I think, you know, every major kind of thing, event that happens, there's a wave of movies that reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to get your, we already have Contagion, but you're going to get your isolation type movies. You're going to get, you know, as the fabric of America changes, so will the kind of movies that are made. You know, you saw it like, which, you know what, side tangent, I think it's kind of weird, you know, like after what I remember the first time kind of hearing this whole thing was like after 9/11, when you had like United 93 and whatever the movie with Nicolas Cage was.
Yeah, World Trade Center.
Yeah. You had these things, people were like, nah, this is too soon. And I understand that feeling, but it's kind of, it's ironic when you look back at the 40s and World War II and, you know, war movies being made right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
About the war that's going on. And think about it. Think about all the movies good that you make now about the war on terror. Zero Dark Thirties, The Report, you know, all those
like
kind of movies.
Hurt Locker, those all were taking place during the war, yeah.
Yes, they're all taking place right now. So, yeah,
United 93, United 93 and World Trade Center came out, that was 5 years. So
five.
Even when we were talking about like the pandemic thing, making a movie about it, I said five initially, and you said, yeah, probably even longer. So we got 5 years. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
I feel like what are some examples? Like, when did, like, the Peter Berg movies, I feel like they always came out pretty soon after.
Yeah, so let's see. I was in college during the Boston Marathon bombing. So that's like 2013-ish? 2013,
yeah, movie came out 2014. 2016.
3 years later.
Yeah, so like that one.
Deepwater Horizon. That's within three or four years of that happening.
Yeah.
The other one. What's the war one?
The Lone Survivor?
Yep, that's within, you know, the same kind of era.
Yeah. Yeah, like all this, it's weird. It'll be interesting to see.
Your phone going off?
It is. Do you feel? Oh, because I just put it down on the thing.
Did you put
it down on? Yeah.
The mic stand.
Yeah, right next to the mic stand. Grandma's FaceTiming me. I'll have to FaceTime her after we get off this call.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, Quarantine the Banter. We got some interesting, we got kind of our zany, interesting movies coming up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the notes of, like, the order that we had come up with in front of me, but we have Napoleon Dynamite, True Romance, Scooby-Doo, double feature of The Disaster Artist, and Room.
Hold on, Scooby-Doo is not just Scooby-Doo. It's Scooby-Doo and why the Twilight movies are so important right now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and the PowerPoint as to, what was the PowerPoint that she did?
Abby did the PowerPoint about, this is Spy Kids 2.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
Which is what was, so
I'm going to have, that's going to be up. I'm going to have that up on the double monitor. I'm going to
have
ready
so
to go.
What, you know, when I asked Abby to come on, I was like, Abby's kind of losing it on Twitter a little bit, it seems, during the quarantine. Then Snow spilled the beans and let us know that she works from home all the time. So it's like...
yeah, that'll be a fun episode.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. Yeah, we're going to do... we're going to have former intern Kate on to talk Interstellar.
Yes.
Which I think will be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got some good stuff coming up. I like having guests on the show.
Yeah, it's been fun. It allows for some good conversation.
And I could kind of walk away whenever I want.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Which you do quite often.
Yeah. Because I'm kind of like, I don't know about this. And I leave.
There you go.
Not only do I not listen to the podcast after we release them, I don't even listen to them while we're recording them. I got no idea what you're talking about.
No way. No thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, figured it's we got some good stuff coming up. We got to schedule some things, a variety of movies to talk about, a variety of guests. Really enjoying doing this.
Yeah.
In this,
and then we
in
got
this
after,
format.
After the weird ones, we got kind of more like 20, like a Snack Tray wants to come on and talk like 28 days later.
We're going to talk Zodiac.
12 Monkeys was another one that we might talk about. Zodiac.
We'll probably do 28 Days Later and 12 Monkeys. That's like the...
That'll be our pocket. We'll do that in between with a couple updates or something.
Yeah, that's like the number miniseries of the quarantine miniseries.
Yeah. And then we have Nikki who wants to come on and do... Well, I'm not sure yet. Because Birds of Prey... right now we have it as Birds of Prey and the... Emancipation.
Fantabulous Emancipation of one Harley Quinn?
Yeah, well, yeah, or the episode will be the Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Ranking of the Films of One Harry Potter. Because we just recently watched those movies and
ranked
them.
That is true. Yeah, that'll definitely be a discussion in there.
Although after we watched Paddington, she was like, should I do Paddington? And then the next day she was like, for the sake of the bit, should I... come on and just talk like San Andreas or something. Just talk about
me. I mean, she's there.
Forgot. Earthquake.
And you finally felt it, that one.
Finally felt it, yeah. It was shaking awake it was like 5 miles away. Or like five
it was like,
miles away.
It was around 3 a.m. Eastern time, 12 Pacific time, I believe.
Just had fallen asleep and was shaking awake, and I texted the family group chat and said, well, felt that one.
Yep, you just hate to see it.
Yeah, but...
So, you know... we hope you're enjoying this miniseries so far. We have a lot more to come. You know, stay safe out there, everybody. Keep your heads up. This time sucks. It's stressful. Don't listen to the president. He's pretty stupid. Don't inject bleach.
Listen to this. That's it. Hopefully this podcast is what turns people away from the bleach drinking. They're like, oh, the president said it. It's like, oh, but the cute banter guy said, don't do it. So I'm out.
Yeah, definitely don't do it. Lysol was like, yeah, don't do that. Not good. So, hopefully you're stuck at home. If you think of something else that we should watch or another movie, even if you've already been on the show and you want to come on again, whatever.
Yeah. We need more guests. Guests are fun.
This is a free for all.
We got to add some competition. Zach's in the lead with 3 guest appearances. Adam, right behind him with 2.
Yep.
And Snow and James with 1.
One each.
So, as always, listen to everything Nick just said, because he already did the ending of that.
Nice. Thing. Apparently you weren't listening to this podcast either.
Yeah,
you can find us on the old Instagram, Twitter, @CueTheBanter. You know, drop us some shit. And, keep adding things to your queue and banter responsibly. Yeah, every time I wake up, I turn a light on. My alarm, I hate it. I do math to make sure I actually get out of bed to get to work on time. I go in the bathroom. I walk in, I turn the light on, and I'm like, I gotta see, what's the damage? I'm not feeling so hot. What am I looking like? And I turn and I look, and it's like, oh, God, that is. the bags under the eyes are bad.
Oh, my gosh.
The only advantage of the dark spots and the bags under the eyes is I have the baby blues. I got nice blue eyes.
Baby blues.
They look a little bit brighter because I always have shiners under my eyes.
Yeah.
So then I get in the shower and I'm like, you know what? The next night I'm like, I woke up. That was not good. It's not good. So I'm going to take my contacts out actually tonight. So I take my contacts out after dinner and I wear glasses and I wake up and I'm like, all relieved. And I walk in and I take the glasses off and I look in the mirror and I can't see. Everything's blurry and I still see the bags. I'm like, oh God.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. It's two duffel bags under each eye. It is rough.
Oh my God.
It's like navy blue sleeping bags across the under my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta get a skincare routine up. Maybe exfoliate or.
I know, you gotta.
It's not good because it's even worse. Then I get in the shower, and I'm like, I got this whole hair thing. I just gotta put a fucking hat on, and then I get out of the shower, and I'm like, I feel relieved. And right at the end of the shower, I switch it to cold water.
Okay.
Nice hot shower, cold shower. Cold water
for a second,
The blood flowing. I'm like, okay, I'm awake. I'm feeling good. I look back in the mirror, right. And I'm like, motherfucker, I still look exactly the same as I did when I rolled out of bed.
Now I'm just wet.
Yeah. It's like now I just look like I'm dead and I'm wet. I just look like I died in water now.
Yeah.
It's.
Oh, boy.
It's
they just pulled you out of, like, the Hudson.
Yeah, it's bad news. Remember in 1917 when there was the dead guys in the trenches laying in the water? I look like that after a cold shower. It takes me. I'll be at work, too, and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling tired. I'm like, you know what? I've had coffee. It's 8:30. Been here for an hour and a half. I've been up for like 2.5 hours. Let me go take a look. And I walk in the bathroom, and I look, and I'm like, fucking, it's come on, man. I got to do something here. This is because I'm working with a guy. That guy's 30 years older than me. And I'm like, I worked a double with this guy yesterday. He looks fine.
Yeah.
He looks 31. I look 60.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
That's not good.
By 11:30, the eyes start to finally fully revive themselves. And that's just a quick quarantine, what it's like getting out of bed, being me, you know?